Well, I'm very thankful standing here and very honored to be here. If I think about Jack, who was my husband, and I, we started going to First Baptist once in 1954 on an evening service, and it was a wonderful service, and the people were so loving. I couldn't name all the people who just invited us. It was just great. Now, maybe I should start from the beginning when I was born. I was born in Holland. You probably all know about my accent. I mean, a few weeks ago, I was in the grocery store and there was a man behind me. And he said, "So, you're born in Holland, you know." And I said, "Oh, my accent is giving me away." And he said, "No," he said, "my best friend is from Holland. And you just talk like him, you know, you're talking to the cashier, and he would do that too." So I guess I know I have an accent. My sister and brother are much younger. They don't have that accent, but they certainly tell me about it. Well, I was born then in a small town, more to the northern part of Holland, and the border from Germany was very close to it. Not that we went there, but from my mother's side, they were farmers, and also from my father's side. And my mother was the oldest of 11 children, and all those children became followers of Christ. I think that's really a blessing. Also, from my father's side, there were 7 children. Now, the oldest brother of my father, I really do not know. But he was just a lovely man. And so my father built his own house when he married my mother. And his father built a church building. There wasn't a church building. They were coming together at my other grandparents. I really do not know how my grandmother managed to get those 11 children having a service, but it was a great big living room where they all came together. So I think from a young child, I always thought I was this blessed child of God. I don't have no reason for to say it. Now, I was the first grandchild. My grandparents saw the world of me. And if you find that I talk and praise too much about myself, it's all to God's glory and Jesus and God's Son. At some time, my grandparents, with all those children, decided to move to a big city for all those children for education and work. And so they didn't want to sell their farm, so they asked my parents if they would rent it. So my parents sold their farm, and we moved to the big house. And when it was time for me to start school, if you think all those children walked, and it was about 7 kilometers, and we all walked together to school and came back home late in the afternoon, it was just wonderful to grow up like that. Now, I'm sure that isn't now anymore, but I waited in the morning, you know, before 8, and then came the children who lived farther away, and we all just had a wonderful time walking together. And when I was in grade 4, my parents got me a bicycle. And I mean, also my cousin, who was 2 years older, and we went together to school biking. And I'm still in touch with a cousin who is 2 years older. I still got a letter from her this week. And we don't write every month, but if we have something special to say. And I think that's just wonderful. And then at a certain time, my grandparents decided, I think they were well settled down there. That was more in the southern part, to the southern part of Holland. And they decided to sell the farm. And my parents decided to move there. I don't know, I think my mother would have liked to, you know, to live with her brothers and sisters, and her parents were still alive. And so we moved to the city. And before my parents were settled down, I stayed with an aunt and uncle because they thought I should go to school. And my aunt and uncle, who were young married couple, they were just wonderful. I think there are things in a person's life that you remember. They would, after the evening meal, and after the dishes washed, we would, the three of us, go for a walk before I was going to bed. And I think those things, they stay just with a person, all these lovely things. At the school, I was often praised. Now, I think probably the school where I came from, they were ahead at education, because I was in grade 5 and they moved me right away to grade 6. And then when the teacher would ask a question and nobody answered, and me as a stranger and shy down there, and he would say, well, I think the girl from the north will give us the answer. And I'm always knew the answer too, but I didn't put up my hand, because anyway, from there on I went to what you would call a college, and it was just for girls, and you learn everything about life. It's about the food, it's about health, and anything, you know, psychology, and name it, anything, you could get degrees in that. And so I went there for quite some many years. And when I came to Canada, my family got me a position with a Dutch couple who had 5 children. And I said to somebody from my family, and I have never cooked, and you expect me to cook for 7 people? And she said, you went to that special college. Well, I said, but I didn't learn to cook. I learned, you know, the vitamins and everything like that. But everything went okay like that. Anyway, then we come, and my dad had started a business of his own in the automobile. Because there were many people who didn't own a car. Because if you lived in the city, I wouldn't know where you could put the car either, because there were no garages or nothing like that. Anyway, they could rent a car, and sometimes there would be a family or a couple who wanted to go to Switzerland or France and so, and my dad, they would always ask my dad to be the driver and arrange everything. So, and I guess then we come to 1940. And during the night, from the government, I guess they knew that Germany would be entering Holland, because they asked my dad if he would help to transport, you know, the army to the center of Holland, you know, drive a truck or whatever. So my dad did that. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, the German soldiers, army boxing. We lived right in the middle of the city. And they marched through the streets and singing. I guess for them it was, a victory to walk in like that. But my mother and I, we stood on the side and we were crying because we knew things would be different. There was a minister from the Christian Reformed Church who often was asked to preach at a town in Germany when they didn't have a minister. And he had warned for a long time how things would change. But I guess nobody was listening because we all thought, what does Germany want with Holland? But Germany was well planned because they marched in at 5 and mid-morning the whole city was filled with trucks from Germany because the city was an industrial city with lots of warehouses. And they emptied all the warehouses and everything there was too for their own people. And my dad, we never heard from my dad what happened. We didn't know because Holland stopped Germany in the center of Holland, but then Holland didn't give up and then they bombed Rotterdam. And when Holland wasn't giving up after that, they would do the same to Amsterdam. And then Holland gave up because they had seen the terrible things what happened to Rotterdam, these old cities with mostly the buildings from the 1700s and so on. So my dad, my mother never heard anything, and for a long, long time, and I don't know the exact time, but it was more than a year, then we found out that my dad was in France. Germany was building the whole coastline, they said, against England, if England was going to invite Europe, from Holland to Belgium and France, and that's where he was put. And then, at some time, he came home for 1 week, but my dad didn't go back, and from then on, the Gestapo came. Regular, I couldn't say how many times, but at least a few times a week. If you think my dad wasn't important to the war, but I guess they couldn't stand it that he didn't go back to France. And I often think about my mother because my brother was born in 1940. The Gestapo were very rude and they would, the gun in their hand and ask my brother, the little boy, where his dad was. And so I think I became an adult to my mother because she didn't have my dad and she couldn't tell my sister and brother anything. And so we kept a lot of secrets. And I think war hurts everybody. My brother now often has nightmares about the Gestapo. He would, for instance, have his mid-afternoon sleep, and the Gestapo would come and wake him up and have the gun in the hand and say, "Where is your dad?" So I think they have impressions. And I often think about this world now, all those children, how they suffer. I didn't really suffer that much. I think I tell myself I really learned to lie. Because if you left the city, you were questioned by a German soldier. If you came back in, and I was asked by the underground if I would deliver false papers. We all carried like a passport with everything, your picture on it and all the information on it. But there were lots of people in Holland who couldn't be outside, like Jewish young men or any young man, because they would have to report to Germany to be in the army. And so I think the undergrounds really looked at it. My grandparents lived in a small town, and that way they often, to that town, they asked me to bring things, you know, false papers delivered, you know, to the houses. Those things couldn't be delivered by a postman, of course. And I usually wore those things on my body, because if they stopped me, that it wasn't in my pocket or in my purse. Or I went on the bike, of course. Now, I think that sometimes I forgot about car too, because one time I came home and on my bike, and you have to think everything is dark, you know, because we were ordered right away from the beginning to buy black roller blinds, and there were no street lights on, and everything was dark, and I was on this bike path, and there was a bike behind me, and his front wheel touched my back wheel so many times, but he never said anything. And I guess my nerves got the worst of it. I thought, what is this all about? So when I entered the city, and I would have never dreamt of doing this, there is a German soldier standing. And I asked him if I could stay a few minutes, because I said, somebody, it was behind me all the time. And he said, would you like me to call one of my men? And I said, no, thank you, because I live close by, and I will look. If I see a person standing, I might come back. Anyway, I didn't see so. I didn't dare to go to the back door, but I usually did, because I thought, just think if that person is standing there, it's all pitch dark. So I went to the front, and I thought, if I ring the bell, my mother might not answer the door. So I called through the mailbox, you know, Mom, could you open the door? And my mother came to the door, and she looked at me, and she said, we are not thinking of putting a bike in the house, is it? Yeah, but I said, I am. No. So, Mom, could you close the back door, lock the back door? I will lock the front door, and I will tell you about it. Later on that night, I thought, just think if God sent that person to protect me. I didn't have anything dangerous on me, but, you know. So I never had an answer for that about that person. I think everything becomes different in a country. I had a girlfriend that was from my church, but I also had a girlfriend where I went with to school. And that family, you know, were members of the Christian Reformed Church. You would think a Christian family, but it wasn't the poor people who went with Germany, it was the middle class, the business people who thought that Hitler would win the world. And so this family, and you know, my girlfriend and I, we would walk into each other's house, and I would walk into their home, and there were the German officers sitting in the living room or in the dining room, very uncomfortable. And one day, we as Dutch people were, you know, our royal family had gone to Canada, and it was the Queen's birthday, and I had an orange ribbon in my hair. And the girl's dad, and here were the German officers sitting, and the girl's dad said, what is this? You know, like that. I said, what? At the moment, I even forgot about the ribbon too. But then he said, what's in your hair? Oh, I said, Mr. Neighbor, it is the Queen's birthday. you know. And of course I said it proud. I went home that evening and I thought, yeah, what's going to happen to this? But nothing happened. But I said, once said to my mother, you know, my friend, her name was Elizabeth, and I said, Mom, would you not talk about anything, you know, from this house, about Dad or so, when Elizabeth is here? And my mother said, that nice girl. And I said, yeah, but her dad isn't that nice, and that might win him points, you know. And so across the street from us lived a couple, and the man owned a company, and he had worked in the underground, and he was arrested. And Germany used, you've all heard of Scheveningen, the big hotel there as political prisoners, and that's where they put him. And the underground caught him out because he was that important to the underground. He had a wife and three young children, and of course there was no food to buy. And they knew a farmer outside of the city. So I decided that I would, after I came home, I would in the evening would go to that farmer, and she would give me money, and the farmer would give whatever he could give. And so one day she said to me, her sister was a nurse, and she said to me, we talked it over, what about if she gives a nurse's uniform that might make it easier for you to go out to city and come back in? And that really did. The German military didn't ask me that much, you know. So, but one evening when I had brought the food, you know, to the person, I came out of the door, and the next door neighbor looked at me and said, and what you are doing is against the law. And I said, yes, but Mr. Mayor, I said, look at all those people who do things against the law every day, and I do it for the good. And those things, you know, and so that I walked away. But all those things you think about and you think, well, could it, you know, somebody tell the Germans about this, you know. You didn't trust your neighbors, you didn't know which side they were on. And I always thought everybody gets hurt in a war. Holland wasn't the same after the war. And anyway, when finally the Allied came into Holland, I came just from that farmer meeting, and some friends who also worked in the underground stopped me and said, you know, we are all invited to this hotel, and that was the first class hotel where the German officers had been stationed, and the Allied forces had now taken over that hotel, and they invited the underground. And I said, oh no, I won't. And they said, well, Jean, because often when they did something and I saw it wasn't the right to go to, I always said no. And they said, don't be different this time, you know, just come. And it's just a half a block, so there is food to eat, you know. And so I said to my mother when I came home that I was going. And she said, aren't you thinking about other families like the grandparents on the outskirts of the city? And if they are safe, oh mother, I said, I think about those things every day. I won't be long, I'm just going for a little while. And I did, and I had something to eat. And don't ask me what I ate, but I had something to eat. And at some time, a lot of those girls went with soldiers upstairs. And I decided to go home. And I closed my jacket, and a soldier walked up to me and said, "I'll walk you home." And I said, "No, you don't have to do that. I live close by." "Well, let's just say it makes me feel better," he said. And it was a Canadian soldier. And so he walked me home. And my dad, who was never home, you know, he would come during the day sometimes, see my mother or so. But I actually, you know, but my dad opened the door when I came to him. And when I came inside, I gave the soldier a hand and thanked him. And when I came inside, my dad said, "I didn't think you would leave mother alone." "Oh, Dad," I said, "it's war. I'm so tired of everything. I'm going to sleep." And then I turned back and I said, "Dad, don't go outside tomorrow, because there is German army everywhere hiding, because the Allied forces are on the outside of our city, so they can't go to the border, they can't go back to Germany. And today they got a whole regiment they found in the shirt, so, and they're very desperate." So we that's how we were freed. And if you think about all those people who went with the Germans, they were put out of their business and moved somewhere. I think my mind never was much with that, because you were thinking about so many other things, whatever happened to those people. And as young people, I remember my friends and so, we saw Germany had taken our youth away. And then 46 or 47, we got a frost, and that doesn't happen often in Holland, that the outside lakes and waters, canals freeze. And skating was my favorite sport. And I really enjoyed that winter. And I worked during the day. And my mother said that one time to me, "There are other things to do than skating." And my dad, who had loved skating, said, "It's only for a short time, you know. Just let her go." Anyway, I met a young man there. I loved speed skating and figure skating, and we skated together. And I had seen that young man before, was in the underground. I didn't know much about him. Anyway, I fell in love, and so did he. And but he wasn't a Christian. And I mean, after the war, there were many people who wanted to do good. I think they started out like Hitler said, he would look after the poor, but he never did look after the poor. And power was in it. And that's what I felt with. Anyway, I actually never had a date with the young man. Now, somebody had come and had started an Italian ice cream place close where I lived, and I think we had ice cream there together. But at one time I said that we couldn't be seeing each other anymore, and he said, "I would never stop you from going to church." "No, but," I said, "you wouldn't be with me." And he said, "Well, you don't love me as much as I love you, because I wouldn't give you up for anything." And I said, "Yeah, but then you don't know Jesus. That's the difference." Anyway, at that time I had a position working at a fashion house. I mean, Holland started after the war, so many people started business to make things going and things feeling better. Anyway, that young man often came at noon when our lunch hour and waited for me. And And so the leader of that who owned that place, I mean, she said, and that young man doesn't give up on you. And this girl, who also belonged to that group, said, no, Jean broke his heart. You know. Anyway, life went on, and I don't know, I must have gotten an ad in the paper or whatever at a home for children who had been taken away from their parents by the government. And I applied because I... Is it my time?
Well, it is, but that was accidental. You've got 1 minute.
Okay.
Sorry.
Anyway, so I went for an interview, and I had all the degrees to get the job, and the gentleman asked me, and they had showed me the home. He had bought a great big villa in the richest part of Appledore. Now, at the moment, I was questioning if that was the right thing, but anyway, it seemed fine. And so he asked me if he offered me the position, if I would take it. Oh, I said, I would love to have it. Well, he said, now you are my girl. And I have more interviewed, more than a dozen, but so I came to work at the children's home. And, well, I could make that a long story, but I loved it. And I think that I lived as close to God as I ever could in those 5 years. It was just wonderful. I was praised a lot, and I often asked the other staff, because the director always said, she said, I come down the stairs and on the right side is the door, but Jean is with 25 young people and I don't hear anything. I open the door and there she is helping somebody with his homework. And she wants to get up, but she said, I'm emotional. And she said, I almost wish that I could belong there. She said, that's how those children feel. I mean, I have it from the other staff, because they would, you know, tell me that. And I would say, well, you know, just don't listen, pay attention to it. We are all here to do the best for these children. I said, but I'm no different than you. And they said, oh yes, Jean, you're different, because I wouldn't want your position if they doubled my salary. So, anyway, I came here at the end of it, when my parents decided to immigrate. Now, there were a lot of people, because Holland wasn't the same anymore. I had no idea of thinking that I wanted to go to Canada. Actually didn't want to leave my prison either, but I thought that I owed something to my parents, who had lost everything in their life, Germany. And after the war, the government came to my dad. He wanted to process against Germany, and my dad said, I have 5 terrible years. I don't want to spend it in the courthouse. So he said no to that, and anyway, they decided to go. But so, when it really came to it, I should do it for my parents. But I said I would stay 1 year or 2 years, financial, I would help them. Well, I met Jack the first week I was here, and that is the end, and I didn't go back. So.
That's part one. 2017-2018, we'll bring Jean back so she can...
There's a little bit more to the story. Who was Jack? And how did she get to Regina?
That'll be part two. That's what you call the hook. That'll be a hook. So you'll all come back. You all have to stay alive until you hear part two. Thank you very much, Jean, for sharing. I've always admired and respected Jean, but now I'll look at her in a different light. She's the female James Bond. Jean Bond.